Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to be back with you again this morning. It seems like forever. It's been a while, but praise God, He's allowed me to be back this morning. Before I get started this morning, I want to say, you know, I don't know anybody, you know, if you're new here this morning, I hope and pray you didn't come out to hear a good preacher because you're not going to hear one. But also, I want you to understand that what the song says is the truth. If you want freedom, it's the Calvary. That's where it's at. That's what it's all about, and praise God for that. Church, I hope you're ready for revival this week. You know what? The preachers aren't going to bring it this week. It's going to be us on our knees in prayer this week. And of course, it starts at 7 o'clock tonight. Why do we keep mentioning that? Because our church usually starts at 6. And we want you to understand the revival services start at 7 tonight. And may I encourage you to use that extra hour to get on your knees and pray for revival. Amen. Praise His name this evening. Praise His name this morning. I just love Him to no end. Thank God for that. And as we go into next Sunday, I want to announce one more thing before I get started. I had the pleasure recently to go to Fairmont to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, where my grandson goes to college. And I got to hear a gentleman by the name of Harrison Linkus. He is over the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at Fairmont. He's a young man. And he will be here next Sunday morning to preach for us. And I encourage every young person that's in here to have every one of your friends that want to come here. That night I was there, there were 300 students. There were 300 kids at that meeting at Fairmont State that night. Now, I mean to tell you, they praised the Lord. I didn't know what I was going to get into when I went. But praise God, you know what I got into? I got into the movement of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There were 30 people that got baptized right there that night. You know what they did? They took a little watering trough and set it right outside that room, and everybody that got saved, they took them right out there and they baptized them right then. And they're going to have another one of those meetings sometime in April. I'm going to encourage our youth to go to that, and I'll tell you when it is. But he'll be here next week to preach, and also his praise team will be here next Sunday morning as well, which Josh is a part of. But they will be here next week to do that. So you know what? Be much in prayer for that down through the week as well. I am encouraged. I'm looking forward to this whole week. And you know what? I can't think of anything better to finish it up with next week than have like a youth revival in our youth services that day. Amen? All right. If you would, turn to 2 Kings, the 13th chapter. When you get there, just hold your finger there for a little bit, if you would, please. I'll get to it here shortly. Listen, the Lord allows me this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about, I would like to talk to you about something that I've been convicted of a number of times in my mind and in my heart. And I hope maybe some of you in here has been too. I'm talking about half-heartedness sometimes. I'm talking about, you know, not having the zeal that we need to have once in a while, you know, that we need through, you know, and if you let that go, not only can it affect like someone in the congregation, someone in here personally, but it also can affect a congregation if you're not careful. You know, you can get to that point. Even those of us who have been saved for a long time, we're not out of the woods on that. You know, we can all fall prey to it. You know, I fell prey to it many times down through my life. Half-heartedness can come in many different ways. You know that? Half-heartedness can come in church attendance. Half-heartedness can come in church work. Half-heartedness can come in Bible reading. And you know what? Half-heartedness can come in our prayer lives once in a while, too, if we're not careful. If we're not careful, we can let that slip in there. But may I say this morning, Jesus never went to the cross, and you can agree with me on this, He never went to the cross for half-heartedness from us. He went there, He'd given His all. He went there, He died for each and every one of us. He gave everything that He could for us. And praise God, you know what? Don't you agree with me here this morning that He deserves more than just half-heartedness from us? I mean, I think He does. I mean, we serve a good God. We have a good Savior. We have the Holy Spirit that leads and guides and directs us. Listen, as a matter of fact, the Scripture tells us that the followers should be distinct and set apart in how we serve and go and serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By their whole hearts. That's what He wants from us. He wants our whole hearts. And for this cause, for the cause of the gospel. Would you agree with me on that this morning? He wants us to have that for us. The Lord showed me a Scripture that I would like to share with you because I believe there is a difference between, and you'll see where someone is wanting to do something just half-heartedness and committed and not committed to what they're doing. If you're able, if you're at 2 Kings chapter 13, stand with me this morning, and I'll read the scripture with you. Starting with verse 14, if you're in 2 Kings chapter 13, beginning with verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. What that's about, that's saying he's on his deathbed and this is the sickness that's going to take his life. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down from unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elijah said unto him, take bow and arrow. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elijah put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And Elijah said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord, deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. And for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite into the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou should have smitten five or six times. Thou hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it, whereas thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Let us pray. Father, we ask you, Father, to be with us this morning, be with the sermon this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, as the message goes out, Lord, that you would get me out of the way, Lord. I pray for that this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, for the hearts that are gathered here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would open up every mind that's here, Lord. Help us, Father, to use the words. And, Father, help us, Father, to go about it, Lord. And, Father, we'll praise you this morning for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. You may be seated, and thank you. As I said, as we look at the story, we find Elijah on his deathbed. That's what we find. And we find a king of Israel, Joash. He's come to pay his last respects, so to say, to him. And as I read the story, you noticed Elijah didn't get mad at the king because he didn't do what he told him. He did what he told him. He said, you open the window. He said, you shoot the arrow out. He said, then you take the rest of the arrows. He said, you smite him on the ground. The king shot there. He shot them towards the east. He did exactly. You know what the east represents? It meant where the battle was going to take place. That's what he was trying to tell him. The problem is that he didn't listen to the prophet. The reason Elijah got upset with him was the king. The same problem that a lot of us have in the church world today. The king was just going through the motions. God has convicted me, your pastor, of that a lot of times. Patty, I have went through the motions so many times. I don't know about you here this morning, but I guarantee you, if I talk to you, there have probably been times that you use church, going to church, just like checking a box on the refrigerator. Hey, it's Sunday morning, I'm going to church. Hey, it's Sunday night, I'm going to church. Wednesday night, I'm going to church. We can check those boxes. Hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. We check them. Praise God. You know what? God has shown me, listen, it is not about going through the motions. I praise God. It's not about just getting to do something just because you think you have to do it. Praise God, I hope and pray you're here this morning because you love Jesus this morning. I hope and pray you're here this morning because you want more out of church than this coming and sitting on a pew and listening, as the thing said, and maybe going numb sometime to the sermons and the teaching. But praise God, we can come here this morning and worship a God that loved us and loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for us. Praise God. I want to do it not because I have to, Greg, because I want to. How about you this morning? I pray you want to be at church this morning. I pray you want to serve him. I pray that when you go home, you want to serve him then. And I pray this morning that, brothers and sisters, when you get on your knees to pray, I hope that you want to pray, not because you have to pray. Can I throw this in as just a little extra? When you're on your knees sometimes and you're praying to the God in heaven, don't just ask him for everything all the time. Give him the praise and the glory that he so rightly deserves. Because that's the kind of God that we serve. The king was just going through the motions. The blessings that could have come. by wholeheartedly doing what the prophet wanted him to do, you know what was totally lost on Joash? It was totally lost. He's humoring an old man. Have you ever done that to somebody? I've done it. I've humored people before. Greg, I've been sitting there listening to him talk, and I'm just listening. I'm just humoring him. But praise God, if he would have understood the blessings that God wanted to give him, if he would have just done what God wanted him to do, praise him, instead of going through the motion. Listen, that is all of us here this morning. You understand that? God is wanting to bless us. He's wanting to bless you, and he's wanting to bless. Elijah said, Joash, shoot that arrow. Sure, fine, I'll do that. Elijah said, Joash, strike the ground. Okay, I did that. Now what? Now what, King? Now what, Elijah? What? Now what? I want to tell you something. Once again, Elijah gets mad saying, what's your problem? He said, what is your problem, old man? What do you think I'm doing? I did everything you asked me. There was a problem with his passion, not his actions. Listen to me. We got revival coming up this week. We have got it coming up this week. And can I tell you something? And not from your pastor, not as your pastor, but as the God we serve. Put everything you got into it this week. Put everything you got into your prayers for it this week. Put everything you've got into it with serving God this week. Because listen, there is a lot at stake. I battle with revival sometimes. And I'm going to tell you why I do that. Because revival's for the church. It's for the church people. Now, people get saved during revivals. Don't get me wrong. They get saved. But brother said, revival is for you and it's for me. And why do I say that? Because brother said, I believe the church needs revived. Not just Drift Run, but I believe the church needs revived. We're going through a rough time in this nation. We're going through a rough time as you search around. But brother, the thing that can change this nation is revival. Could revival start here at this church and spread across this nation? Absolutely could. It can. But revival starts with you. It starts with Alita. It starts with me. It starts with Jeremy. It starts with Greg. It starts with Tim. It starts with, I could go around Jamie. It goes all around this church. That's where revival starts. Heard a preacher say one time, he said, I didn't bring revival in my pocket. Amen? You don't bring revival in your pocket. You bring by being on your knees in prayer. You know what? This king was just going through the motions. He was just playing the games. He was kind of blowing this whole thing off as a waste of time. Can I tell you something? Listen to this preacher this morning. Don't come to church and think it's just a waste of time. Don't come to revival this week and think to yourself, it's just a waste of time. That's why I'm not going to come. If you got that attitude, yes, I encourage you to stay away. Amen. You know what I encourage you to do? I encourage you to come. I encourage you to expect God to work. Amen. I encourage you to come expecting God to do a work, not only in this preacher, but in this church, that brotherhood, we can set this country on fire with it. Set this community on fire. He was just blowing the whole thing off as a waste of time. But because Joash is just going through the motions, he's going to miss out on the full blessings of God. He was going to miss out on it. How many of you here want to be blessed for God? I want to be blessed. Yeah, don't be afraid to raise your hands. I hope and pray you want to be blessed. There's not a one of us here who doesn't want to be blessed. Praise his holy name. Listen, when we shortchange God, we miss out on the blessings he can bestow upon each and every one of us. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about being blessed of a God that is willing and wants to bless us. Listen, if he had taken it serious, he would have had totally, finally defeated the enemy. You see what he did? He did. But if you read on down in verse 22, it said Syria. If you read on down there, it said Syria was there. It was a thorn in their side the rest of his life. Can I tell you something this morning? The enemy could be standing right outside your door today knocking in a spiritual sense. He could be standing right out there knocking. And you know what? God has said you can totally defeat him. And what you do, you only hit those arrows on the ground three times. Can I tell you something? Praise God, you hit those arrows on the ground to your hands and your arms can't stand it anymore. You pray that the God that we serve, that brothers and sisters, they listen, one, I want the enemy totally defeated in my life. I want him, listen, I have seen it so many times. People will let the enemy stand outside their gates and knock and stand out there, and they think it got him defeated, but praise God, they haven't slammed their arrows on the ground enough. Listen, Syria oppressed Israel all the days of Joash. Let me ask all of you in this building this morning, are you just going through the motions? I hope and pray you're not going through the motions just to go through it. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it tells us this. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to shew himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Whose heart is perfect toward him. Do you know what that's telling me? There's a verse that God is looking for people. They're looking for someone who is fully committed to him. And he's going to and fro in the earth, and he sees those people that are fully committed. And guess what he wants to do? He wants to bless you. But what happened here, this king in this story right here, he didn't do it. He said, therein you've done foolishly, therefore henceforth thou shalt have wars. Can I tell you something? Do you feel like you're in a battle all the time? Huh? How many of you feel like you're in a battle all the time? You don't have to raise your hand, but I've been there. I've been there. I feel like I'm in a battle all the time. Now, I'm not trying to blame you for it, but praise God. Maybe you're not as fully committed as you want to be, that God wants you to be. Maybe that's why the wars are there. Maybe that's why the enemy's still knocking outside the gate. Look, God's looking for anyone who is fully committed to him. God is looking throughout the whole earth trying to find someone that is fully committed. And when he finds that person committed to them, he will bless them. He will bless them to strengthen them. God is looking for that special someone who says, I'm going to run this thing. How many of you have heard of running? You know what January 2nd is? I wrote this down. I found this kind of interesting. January 2nd is running up the flagpole day to see who will salute. Anybody ever heard of that? Me neither. they got a day for everything, right? Can I tell you something right now? Run that up the flagpole and watch God work. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Run it up the flagpole and watch God work. I'm here to tell you this morning. I stand upon his word. And if God is looking to bless you and you're doing what God wants, God will bless you. I know Greg uses the scripture all the time about putting a hedge around you. I'm going to tell you one thing. I want that hedge around me. How about you this morning? I don't want it just around me. I want it around my family. I want it around this church. I want it around this everybody in this church, their families included. Praise God. I want God to bless beyond measure. I want to be able to take those arrows, and I want to slam them and slam them and slam them until I can't move my arms anymore. How many times can God take these arrows and strike the ground? How many times can you do that? He's given you the opportunity to do it as many times as you want. Because I don't want to miss out on any of God's blessings in my life. I don't want to bless them. Now I want to go back to my original question to you this morning. If God believes so much in every Christian that he has prepared things in advance for us to do, why are so many Christians not going giving him their all? Can I ask you that question here this morning? The only answer I can think of, they don't take God seriously. They don't take him seriously. Listen to me. We will all stand before a just God one day. Christian and non-Christian alike. We stand before a just God one of these days to give an account. Do we not? My scripture, my Bible tells me we all will. Listen to me. Listen, I want you to, the only is we don't take God seriously. Whenever God says something, Larry, whenever he says he can bless you, I take that serious. I take that. I hold that in my heart. That's the scripture I grab a hold of. Lord, you bless. Now, if he tells me in the Bible also that all those are going to that do not accept him as Jesus as their Savior are going to end up in the lake of fire one day, you take that serious? I take it serious. Because we serve that kind of a God. They think that it doesn't really matter what they do because it's not going to change anything anyway. Can I tell you something? Where two or three are gathered in his name, He will be in the midst. And if you pray, if you're on your knees praying, if you agree on anything touching on earth and praying about it, God said He will hear our prayers. I'm telling you, I believe that. I stand upon that promise this morning, knowing full well that when I go on my knees, Ron, I get down on my knees and I pray, He hears me. He hears me. We serve a God that hears us. I hope and pray this morning you understand that. If you think for 1 minute that prayer can't change anything, come up to this altar this morning and get on your knees and let you find a God that can change things. That's what they're thinking. And that's what Joash was thinking. He was thinking, there's nothing else. He said, this ain't going to change anything. This ain't going to change a thing. What difference does it make if I shoot an arrow out this window or shoot an arrow out that window? What difference does it make? I'm telling you, it makes a difference that we talk to the one that knows. It makes a difference. It's listening to it. There's many people think Christianity is just coming to church. They think that's all Christianity is about. They think it's about listening to a sermon. They think it's about singing a song, putting some money in the offering plate. That's what they think. Taking communion, shaking a few hands, and then going out the door. That's pretty much all they do for God once in a while. Amen or oh my. Can I ask you something this morning? Duty. I'm gonna get to Matthew here in a little bit where it talks about going the extra mile. I want to get to that here in a little bit, but can I tell you something this morning? How many of you think just coming to church will send you to heaven? You may not believe this or not, but I believe the devil goes to church more than everybody. I believe he's sitting in the churches. I believe his minions sat in the churches. And I believe he's now, I believe he goes to church. Because, you know, the Bible says that he used the word on Jesus. I believe he knows the word. I believe he knows it. Some people think the devil's just this thing with long pointy tail, red point with a pitchfork and all that stuff. Brothers and sisters, you got it all wrong. He got it all wrong. He's going to appear as an angel of light. He can't appear as an angel of light. I'm telling you here this morning, what we do for God, we make sure that they hit the ground three times. Listen to me. If you think that's all just coming to church will get you to heaven, listen to me. I'm going to tell you the simple truth about it. Faith in Jesus Christ that died on his cross, faith in Him, salvation in Him is the only way. Going to church every day will not get you into heaven. That is not going to get you there. The story was told earlier about the lady that was 80-some years old, had no eye, and knew all those years that she wasn't right. I'm telling you, there are people sitting in churches today, and you say you're judging. No, I'm not. Sitting in churches today that have never heard the truth, Alita. Have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, or sitting in churches will split hell wide open one day. And that's sad. That's sad to me. I don't take pleasure in that. I don't stand up here and gloat over it. It is not. I want people to go to heaven. This preacher wants people to be saved. This preacher wants everyone that I come in contact to know that they can be saved. Amen. Amen. Because that's what they've been raised to think is Christianity, that it's all about going to church because that's all they do. They miss out on the blessings and power of God. I'm going to tell you something. I love coming to church. Don't get me wrong. I love being here. I love being in God's people. I love hearing people testify. I love hearing the Spirit of God. That's not what I'm trying to get across to you. I'm just telling you, this thing is real. It's not fairy tales. When I got on my knees and got saved in Mannington, West Virginia, it's been almost 48 years since I got saved. I'm telling you, I found out right then this was real. I don't need some commentary to tell me that it's real. I don't need some doctorate out there to tell me that it's real. I don't need anybody in here to tell me that it's real. I know that it's real. And I know that He saved me. And the devil is lying to worlds and people and generations and kids and older people out there and telling them that this thing's nothing but a fairy tale. I'm telling you, it is not a fairy tale. And if you ever get a hold of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in your life, you'll know that it's not a fairy tale. You'll know that it's not. We find in Luke 17, I like this. I'm going to read a little bit. It's starting with verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go set down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doeth ye think that the servant, because he did these things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. You see, Ron, we could do all the duty we want to and still be considered unprofitable at the end of it, right? That's what he's trying to get across to everybody. He's trying to get it across. What he's saying is we have a servant or employee, we're paying them to do what they're hired to do. Praise God. You come to church, you sing songs, that's just our reasonable service. It's our reasonable service. I love giving people flowers. You know how they call flowers here on earth. But praise God, you know what? Just because you come to church, it doesn't mean you get a pat on the back. That's your reasonable service. Just because you pray and sing and praise God, that's a reasonable service. He's putting it in. They're putting in an honest day's work for getting an honest day pay. Anybody who works understand that. When he came in from the field, you don't say, let me serve him now. The master will say, let me serve him now. That's not the way things go. In verse 10, Jesus puts it in perspective. Whenever he says, so likewise, when ye shall have done all these which ye have commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. So likewise. So you also, when you have done everything you're told to do, are we unworthy servants? Have we just done our duty? Nothing wrong with doing your duty. You understand that. I'm not here trying. I love the people that teach classes every week. I love the people that do the things they do in this church every week. But again, I want to lay it out to you. I hope it's not out of duty. I hope you're doing it out of love for Jesus Christ. That's what I hope. I hope and pray that this morning. Boy, it feels good going back up and down these steps again. My wife knows that. Listen, some folks think that they're doing God a favor by simply doing the minimum. You doing God a favor? Or another way of saying it, I only struck the ground 3 times. I did my duty. Above and beyond. I just did what I had to do. Let me make it clear. You cannot purchase your salvation by doing a bunch of good things. I hope you understand that. I love people going out and working in the community. I do. But that work does not mean a thing when it comes to salvation, other than you're doing what God wanted you to do after you're saved. That's what it works. You cannot buy God's love by piling up good works. You can't do it. You can't buy His love like that. But if all you're doing is minimum daily requirement of faith, you've lost out. You've robbed yourself of the blessings that God wants to bestow upon you. Listen, I don't talk about tithes around here. I just never have talked about money. I just don't do that often. But God said, bring the tithes into the storehouse. Did He not? And He also says something else, doesn't He? What's He say? The offerings. Above and beyond. And you know what? Tithing goes more than just money. You do understand that, don't you? Tithing includes your time. It includes a lot of different things. It goes way beyond your money. I heard a preacher say this one time. It's good. God doesn't need your money. The church might. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't. What He wants out of you is your time and your effort to do it for Him in love. That's what He wants. And you cannot buy God's love. You've robbed yourself. Whenever you're just doing your duty, you've robbed yourself. There are blessings you could have had. There are blessings you could have had, but you don't have now. Enemies you could have completely defeated But instead of going past three smacks on the ground, you just maybe do one or two. And there's enemies you could have defeated. You are his workmanship created in Christ. You know that? Jesus to do good works that he prepared in advance for you to do. You are his workmanship. That's what you are. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. You know, a mile was not like a mile today. It was a Roman mile. And you know what that's about? Now, I want you to picture this, and I think I may have preached on this a while back, but I want you to picture this. Jesus was talking to a crowd, the Sermon on the Mount. There was, 5,000, maybe 10,000 people there. Jewish citizenship, maybe some others mixed in, I'm not sure. But he's talking to them. You know what the Roman law was in that day? That if they were carrying a heavy load, they could grab a Israeli man or boy, could grab them, no matter what they were doing, and make them carry the load that mile for them. They could make them do it, no matter what they were doing. So here Jesus is talking to those people. Now just think about this. And he's telling them, well, when they compel you to go 1 mile, tell you what you do. You take it 2 miles. Could you imagine? No matter what, could you imagine? He was talking to people, telling them that. What he was trying to get across to them was, he was trying to tell them, listen, go above and beyond your duty. And if they did, you know what they'd do to those people if they didn't grab that and take them? They'd throw them in prison where they'd beat them. That's what they would do. And here Jesus is telling them, you're going to go a mile. If they're going to tell you to do that, take it 2 miles. Take it 2 miles. You see? It matters. They were carrying a heavy load. It didn't matter. Let me tell you something here this morning. There are times in our life we all are carrying heavy burdens. And what Jesus is asking us to do as Christians is help our brothers and sisters carry that load. If somebody comes to you and they're saying, listen, Jamie, I've got this heavy load and I don't know what I'm going to do. I know what Jamie would do. He would say, listen, I'm going to pick up that load and I'm going to help you carry it. Not only a mile, I'll help you carry it the whole way. That's the God that we serve. That's the kind of love that he has for us, that he wants us to do. And I praise him here this morning. Listen, I don't care what's going on. What I ask you to do here this morning, this week, is there's a burden for lost souls. There's a burden for us to get revived in this church and in our community. I pray that this week, that as these preachers get here to preach this week, pray that you help them carry the burden that they want to give to us. Pray that they give us the message that we need to hear right now. Amen. Pray that they tell us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. This shows us the difference between, that scripture right there will show us the difference between half-heartedness and wholeheartedness. That will show us that scripture right there. Listen, I'm going to read one last thing here for you. I'm done. But it's something that I wrote, and it's about a gentleman that worked as a farmhand on a farm. Maybe you've heard this before, maybe you haven't, but he worked on a farmhand on a farm. And what he did, he lived in they had a little house for him to live on the farm, and the man and woman lived in the house, the main farmhouse. And he said this, every day he'd go past the aging barns and its paint fading and the barn doors just hanging on. He walked past the fences that needed mending, the weeds that had been allowed to overgrow the lanes. The farmhouse itself was in despair. The windows needed replacing. The siding needed attention. But the field hand didn't concern himself too much with any of those things because it wasn't his farm. And they hadn't asked him to fix anything extra anyway. But one day the old family called him into the parlor and sat him down for a talk. They told him how fond they were of him and how much it meant to have him work for them all these years, but now they were getting up in age and had no children to leave the farm to. There was no one who was related to them to leave the farm to, so now they were informing him that they were making him their heir. when they died, everything would be his. He was deeply moved with their generosity and made sure they knew how grateful he was for all that they were promising. As he left the house, he looked around and started to really notice things then. He saw how run down the nature of the barn had gotten. He looked at the fences, the lanes, and of the house itself and thought to himself, you know, I need to start fixing things now. What made a difference? Well, now it was his farm. Now he was heirs to it all. It used to be that he'd go out and say, I've got to get this done. Now he says, I get to do these things. Can I tell you something? As we get into revival this week, don't think of it as I got to go, but think of it as the opportunity I get to go. Amen? You get to get set in the presence of God each and every night this week. Isn't that awesome to think of? We get to hear preachers preaching to us the Word of God. And you know what? Every sermon every night may not be for you just specifically, but it may be for somebody else in here. And one night of it, guess what? It may hit you right between the eyes. Right? Amen. Think of it. I get to go to church this week. I get to. Isn't that an awesome thought? You know what? You're heirs. God has made us heirs and joint heirs, right? Praise his name this morning. I'll tell you what. You know what my father owns? I'm not talking about my earthly father. My heavenly father, what's he own, Alita? Thousand hills. That's all they could compare it to back then. But praise God, you know what that means? That means you won the lottery, you done this, you won that. That means you've got everything. And that's because we serve a God that's like that. Julie, get a song together this morning, please. You know what? To be an heir, you first got to know Jesus as your Savior. And I want to open this altar up here this morning for not only for salvation for those that don't know, but to come up and pray.